Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith, and I'm an instructor at the Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School of La Mirada. And this week, we're going to join Pastor Brian as he goes through Romans chapter 7. So let's join Pastor Brian as he starts this week's study.
Romans chapter 7, verse 1, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." And so as we approach Romans chapter 7, actually this section goes all the way through to Romans 8 verse 4 and focuses on the place of the law in relationship to the believer. And the law is mentioned some 35 times in this portion from verse 1 of chapter 7 through chapter 8 verse 4. And it is obviously an issue that Paul needs to address, is how the Old Testament law, he said so many things about it, especially in Romans 6 verse 14, where he does say that we are no longer under the law. So to a Jew, that's going to bring up a lot of surprise, maybe even some misunderstanding. So he's going to address that in this portion of the Word of God. And I want to look back so far what Paul has said just in the book of Romans first about the law, concerning the law, that we'd have a proper understanding. So we will look through several scriptures, then come back to Romans 7. Here in, turn over to chapter 3. Paul actually has mentioned the law several times in this book already, and what its purpose is and is not. Actually, the entire of chapter 2 basically tells the people just because having the law, that doesn't save them, just because they have it. And then in chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, now here's why, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." So the law is given to condemn people, to bring everybody, the entire world, under its guilt. Because all of the law basically is at this point, for the unbeliever, is a giant mirror that you could reflect how you're measuring up to God's standard. And so each person that's a non-Christian should just take the law of God. Here's God's perfect standard. How do I measure up to that? And it says all will become guilty. Every mouth will be stopped. And so the law basically brings guilt or exposes guilt to the unbeliever. Also, verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified," and we've covered that, "no one will be saved by the law in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And so the law also is there to reveal what sin is, or at least according to what God says sin is. And haven't you met people that think they're basically pretty good people? And they've obviously have not read the Bible, they have not read God's standards, they're basing it on their own standard, and the law comes in and reveals what sin is. Other than trying to make an excuse, or, well, this is acceptable, God says, here's right and here's wrong. And so it brings the knowledge of sin. Then also at verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." So it's a witness to the righteousness of God. If you want to know what God believes on certain subjects, what is righteous, what's holy, the law of God reveals that to us. Jump over to verse 27. "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith." So there's no boasting in salvation. No one can claim any goodness of themselves, because it's not by our obeying the law that we're saved, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Then look at verse 31. "Do we then make void the law through faith? So is the law void, ineffective? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." And probably in that section, to establish the law is what we've done. We've received Christ because we realize we stand guilty before God, or that we haven't measured up to His holy standard. So actually establishing its purpose to condemn us, to show us our guilt, to show us what sin is. We've acknowledged that I've fallen short, and it's drawn us to faith in Jesus Christ. So actually the law is serving its purpose or being established when we put our faith and trust in Christ, because we realize we're not going to make it on our own. In chapter 4, verse 13, it speaks of the law is the righteousness of faith that Abraham had was not through the law but by faith. And then verse 15 says, because the law brings about wrath. The law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. What that means is you're under God's wrath because he's revealed what the law is. We've violated it, so now we're under his judgment. We're deserving of God's judgment. The law brings that out, shows that to us. So there's a lot of negative things so far in Paul's been saying about the law of God. Look over at verse 20. This chapter 5, verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So now it says that that sin would abound, or transgression would be multiplied, and that's going to be dealt with in Romans 6, so we will get to that. And then in chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, but you are not under law, but under grace. So now we're no longer under the law. Now, go back to Romans chapter 7. All these statements, and we didn't look at all of them in the book of Romans, obviously bring some sort of negative aspect to the law. And yet, how could we say the law is not good? That's not what Paul says. The law is good, holy, and perfect. What he's going to tell us is the problem in Romans chapter 7 is us. Our carnality, our sinfulness, wasn't able to live up to the law. But yet, how does it now relate to the believer? Is there any relationship that we as Christians have to the law? And that's what Romans 7 is all about. Now, there's been three different answers within the church about this issue. There's some that would basically, what we'd call, they're legalistic. They go back under the law, place everybody under the law, and all that does is bring frustration and condemnation and guilt, because we've seen that the law, what it does is exposes sin, it manifests sin, it shows us what sin is, and if you try and live up to that law, you're going to fall short over and over and over again. And so there are those that would bring the law back into the church, and that was the whole problem with the book of Galatians, the book of Colossians, and so Paul dealt with that. There's other group that would go the other extreme and say, well, we'd call it libertinism. It doesn't matter now since we're not under the law. It doesn't matter how you live. And obviously that is found completely contrary to Scripture. And then the third aspect would be is that the law is still a manifestation of God's righteous plan, and in that sense the believer relates to it now that we have the Holy Spirit in us and we desire to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I believe that's what Paul's going to get at. And those three aspects seem to be related to in chapter 7. In the first six verses, I think he speaks about to the first person, that we're not under law, so that would exclude legalism. Verses 7 through 13 tells us that the law, its purpose, it's good, it's holy. It was our problem, it was our sinful flesh that was not able to fulfill it. So it's not just a libertinism, live any old way that you want. And then verses 14 through chapter 8, verse 4, he tells us how to live in relationship to the law. Even though we're not going to live a perfect life, we're still going to struggle with sin and temptation, but yet we continue to pursue after holiness. It's a longing of our heart now that God's placed that there, and that'll all be accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit, as Romans 8 will begin to lay out for us. And so I think those three aspects we'll cover over the next 3 weeks. Looking at legalism, that's obviously not the approach. And then also just free from any old standard. And then also how do we live a life that is pleasing to the Lord in the rest of the chapter, then on and through chapter 8. Let's look at this, verse 1. It says, or do you not know, brethren, I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. And that would be in relationship to any law, whether it's the Old Testament law or a law in the United States or a law in Rome. As long as he lives, that's when it has authority over that person. And just making a simple statement, I think it's pretty easy to understand. As long as you're alive, that's when the law can be enforced. So if you get in an accident and it's a drunk driver and he kills somebody and the drunk dies there in the side of the road, the police officer doesn't come by and write him a ticket, he's dead. So the law no longer has any power over him. So it's very simple to understand verse 1. Now he's just going to give you an illustration in marriage. It says, for if the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That as long as you are alive, then you're bound to that marriage commitment. Now if that partner dies, then you're free from that commitment. That's all Paul's trying to make a statement here. Verse 3, so then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. So she's free to marry another person if her husband dies. That's pretty clear. Now, just kind of a side point, what a lot of people have tried to do is try to use this portion of Scripture and then make this the whole standard for marriage and remarriage within the Church of Jesus Christ. And the passage only has meaning in light of the context. And Paul's trying to teach the position of the law. He's not trying to give you a full-fledged definition of marriage and divorce and remarriage. That has no part in here. And what people have done, they've taken this portion, put it back into Romans or Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 19, and have created all sorts of problems and basically said the only way that anyone could ever remarry in the church is if the spouse dies. And that's not what Paul is trying to communicate here. He's trying to give a simple illustration. The law is binding while you're alive. Here's an example in marriage. If your spouse dies, you're free to remarry. That's what he's trying to illustrate. Very simple. And I think we could relate to that. Somewhere in our marriage ceremony, we said, until death do us part, didn't we? Now, I remember going through my ceremony. I honestly do not remember a word that I said. And it wasn't until after I went to someone else's marriage ceremony that, oh, I said those things. That's right. I was just kind of in oblivion. And he could ask me to say anything, and I would agree at that point. My heart was into it, but my brain was just kind of scattered. So at one point, we said, until death do us part. Now, if the spouse passes away, we're free to marry in the Lord, as the Scripture says.
That was Pastor Brian from Calvary Chapel, La Mirada, and we will return tomorrow as he continues through chapter 7 in the book of Romans. If you'd like more information, listen for the phone number given at the end of the program, or check us out on the World Wide Web at www.calvarylm.com.